Okay, we're back. Nicholas Arthur, my website is Cross the Border and crosstheborder.org. That's the name of this program also, Cross the Border. And the main emphasis of this program is to open people's eyes to the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, the mystery of the kingdom of God, to let them know that there is an option out there, that there is a kingdom that is not of this world. They can enter into that kingdom today. It's a kingdom where people love our Heavenly Father and they want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. It's a kingdom where people are tired of sin and they desire to be free from the lusts of the flesh and all of those things that are dragging them down. They are tired of the slavery of sin in their lives, and they cry out to our Heavenly Father with that sentiment, and they ask Him to set them free from the power of sin and death. And if you truly repent from your sins, and of course the word repent is not a bad word. The word repent means to change your mind. And what would you change your mind about? Well, you'd realize that sin is only for a season, and that our Heavenly Father has created every one of us for so much more, the potential of eternal life and righteousness, and that is to live a good life, to live a life that's pleasing to Him, a life where we can love our neighbor and do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and that according to His Word. Because if our brotherly love, if our love for our fellow man, if our love for our family, and our love for our wives and our kinsmen is not according to His Word, then it is only selfish love, and we do it for ourselves. And that's why the greatest commandment, when the Messiah was questioned, and they asked Him, well, Master or Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? And He said, you shall love Yahuwah, the Lord your God, with all your heart. And He said, then the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbors yourself. But we have to put the loving God first, or we don't get the loving our neighbor right. Because there are so many that have different ideas of what it means to love your neighbor. Some people think loving your neighbor is stealing from one neighbor and giving to another. And they use the government to do that. That's the whole idea of socialism, communism, is that you steal from one man, break God's law, to redistribute the wealth, so that everyone has the same thing. Well, that's not true love. That's selfishness, and that's theft. And if you have to break God's law to love your neighbor, then you're doing it the wrong way. The pedophiles, the homosexuals, they think loving your neighbor, and the adulterers, they all think loving your neighbor is sexual, giving them pleasure to derive pleasure for yourself. But still, yet then again, they have to break God's law. Adultery, sodomy, and it's all selfish. Because basically what they want to do is they want to continue in their sin, continue fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So there is another kingdom, and it is not of this world. It is a mystery. That means it's hidden from the world. And for those who want to take the time, for those who desire and seek the face of God, they are the ones who will find it. And when you find it, it's so important that you continue in it, that you allow His Holy Spirit to continue to wash you in the water of His Word, to correct you, to allow the work of repentance to take hold of your life. As I was saying, the word repent means to change your mind. So what do we have to change our mind about? Well, we need to change our mind about the things that do not please God. We need to say, well, I did those things, and I thought they were good in the past, But I see that it's not pleasing to God, and it's not good for me because it's going to lead to an eternal damnation. I'm going to have to pay the price for those sins. But here, the Heavenly Father is offering me something else. He's offering a full pardon based on the work of His Son who shed His blood in my place. So that if I accept entrance into His kingdom, and I continue in His kingdom, that my sins will be forgiven. But if I don't continue in His kingdom, then my sins won't be forgiven, and I will have to pay the price for my own sins. That's the choice that we all have. That's the choice that all men have. And unfortunately, as it is revealed in the Bible and in history, and it is revealed every day in the land where I live, in every facet of the media, by every avenue that it can be, that men still choose to pay the price for their own sins, pridefully proclaiming, I don't need a Savior, or pridefully proclaiming that God will not let me go to hell because I'm a good man. Well, it's not good enough to be a good man. It's not good enough to compare yourself to pedophiles and violent people and judges and lawyers and whoever you may compare yourself with. It's not good enough, because you can never be good enough to wipe off the stain of sin that covers you. There's only one who can do that. There's only one application that can cover the stain of your sin, and that is the application of the blood of Yahshua, the Messiah, who shed His blood by a Roman crucifixion to cover your sins. And because He was without sin, because He had never sinned, the only begotten Son of God, when He went into hell, where most men would have been taken captive in hell, He set the captives free, because hell had no claim on Him. And He said, because He now ruled in hell, because He put down the principalities, He conquered death itself. And by conquering death, He was able to apply His shed blood to everyone's sin, whoever will. So, make the choice. If you're on the fence, if you haven't made the choice for His kingdom, make the choice for His kingdom today. There's nothing more important than that you cross the border into His kingdom and live forever. There is nothing more important. All of the things that this life has to offer are nothing, because they will come to an end. As the saying goes, you can't take it with you, and you won't be able to. And if you live long enough, you'll find that all of those pleasures are fading every single day. All of the lusts of the flesh that you take pleasure in are fading day by day. And you know, that's the mercy of our God, to show us that it is fleeting. It is a fading glory, that of the lusts of this flesh, and everything that this life has to offer is nothing but a fading glory. There's only one glory that's going to last forever, and that is the glory of God, and the glory that comes from obedience to Him and His Word. Yes, His righteousness alone, that will last forever. So make that choice today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ask Him. Repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. And then walk in His kingdom. Study His Word and learn His law. And His Holy Spirit will begin to work on you. The first thing His Holy Spirit is going to do in your life is He's going to kick out some big sin. You know, that big sin. Yeah, that's the one. And everyone knows what it is in their life, that thing that is holding them back. The big sin in their life that is keeping them from God Almighty. That thing they don't want to let go of. For some of you, it may be adultery. For some of you, it may be pornography. For some of you, it may be whatever, the idolatry of money or fame or fortune. Whatever is between you and your God. That's the thing that you need to kick out of your life. And He wants to kick it out for you. So repent of that big thing, and He'll give you a little grace period there where He'll give you power and victory over that thing. Because I know He always does it. He always does it. When you repent, He'll give you victory. He'll give you power over that thing. But you will be tempted with that thing again. You just need to stand. And yes, you will probably fall. But He wants you to get back up and reach for His hand and say, "Help me." And if you fall 10 times, what does the scripture say? A righteous man falls 7 times and he gets back up 7 times. So if you fall 10 times, if you fall 70 times 7 times, you just keep getting back up and reaching for His hand. And you know what will happen? You will get victory over that. But when you get victory over that thing, guess what? There's the next thing. And there's a lifetime full of next things. But don't turn back from the plow. That's why Paul gave us the words. He said, "He who endures till the end shall be saved." Because there's always, we have to endure in His kingdom. We have to endure putting off the works of darkness, being conformed to the image of His only begotten Son, having our minds renewed, having our minds washed by the water of the Word. That's what it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to do it. It is important. The problem is most people will give up. That's the unfortunate thing. Most people will give up. They'll get to a point where they'll just be exhausted and say, "I can't do this anymore. I can't keep putting off the works of darkness." It is a relentless fight, and it is a relentless fight. It is a fight that we have to fight for our entire life. We have to continually put off the works of darkness. We have to continually put on His righteousness. We have to continually get up when we fall and reach for the Father's hand and cry out for Him to help us. We have to continually stay in His Word. It's a never-ending battle. He who endures, it's an endurance race. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Do Christians do bad things? Well, I'll tell you what, the longer they walk with Christ, the less they will do bad things. I am not surprised when so-called men of God fall. I'm not surprised at all. All I can say is, so what? And if they've fallen and committed a crime whereby they need to be punished in the world system, then let them be punished. But let it be proven, because every man has rights under the law, and they should be treated under the law fairly, according to the Lamb-like principles that this nation was founded upon. Don't turn back from the plow. Continue in the Word. Continue in the gospel wherein you have been made free. That's what we need to do. It is more important than anything else that this life has to offer. And it can get pretty tough, and it has been pretty tough. We've had it fairly peaceful here in America, in many places on the planet. But a time is coming when the second beast of Revelation starts to speak like a dragon, and that persecuting power comes in full speed. We've been forewarned. The mystery that's been hid, that mystery that's been hid, the mystery Babylon, the mystery of iniquity, the place of the second beast and its identity has been hidden. But now, there's no mistake, it's fully revealed for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, whose eyes are open and can see what's going on. Our Father is fully revealed to us who follow Him, who are searching these things out, just as He revealed to His followers in Palestine at the advent of the 70th week of Daniel. Oh, it was the 69th week of Daniel. And they were looking, they were counting the days. They couldn't see it all clearly, but when it came, they could see it clearly because it had passed. And they were going, "Where is the Messiah?" And then one of the brothers proclaimed to his brother, "We have found the Messiah." What does that tell you? It means that they were actively pursuing. They were actively looking at the prophecy. They were actively searching out the mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries that were hidden in the prophecies. And when they came to pass, they said, we have found the Messiah. They knew it was the 70th week. And we should be the same way. We should be looking and understanding these things as they come to pass. The second beast is the government system that floats around us. It is a fictitious entity. The United States government, the federal government, is an image. That's right, it is an image, because it only exists in the minds of men. And we've been foretold about it. It was foretold in the scripture. And we see how the image, how the beast rose up in the wilderness, and how it is morphing into, or creating itself into the image. It creates an image of the first beast. It's changing into that, speaking like a dragon power. And it's going to cause every man, rich and poor, and we can see now the technology is here. How plain can it be? And the monetary system is here. How plain can it be? They have their financial capital, London proper. They have their religious capital, the Vatican, city-state, London, the city-state. And they have Washington, D.C., which is their military capital. And they have their unholy trinity. Their unholy trinity. There you go. They finally made their trinity. Well, that's the new trinity doctrine. There it is. The unholy trinity. The government of Rome that covers the whole earth. And so we see this transformation, this image being created in the second beast, that of the first beast. It will be a persecuting power just like the first beast. And it says it's going to cause all men, great and small, rich and poor, to receive the financial mark, and they're doing it through their financial system. I don't believe that worshiping on Sunday is the mark of the beast, because worshiping on Sunday is not a financial mark. You aren't going to go into a store and they're going to say, did you go to church on Sunday? Then you can buy here. No, it doesn't work. Somehow that's not a financial number or a mark. Okay? It is a financial number and mark. And I believe that if you follow the socialist security number and numbering system through, and you can see what it's developing into, I think that all roads lead to Rome. And I believe that's where it goes to, because it is their financial system. London and the bankers, world bankers, are Rome's bankers and world bankers. So it is a financial mark, and it may not be the mark of the beast, but as you see the second beast becoming an image of the first beast, you'll see that they're going to take all of these things they developed over the years, and this is what it is all leading up to. The mark of the beast, monetary, one world system, and all roads lead to Rome. And there you have it. I believe it's unmistakable, and I see other voices are joining me in this, I'm nothing, really, I am nothing. That the Heavenly Father has revealed this to me doesn't make me something special, because I believe at the same time that He's revealing this to me, one, to educate whoever's listening, because He's given me this voice, I believe He's revealing the same things to other people. And I love that, and it's a beautiful thing when I see that happening, because I don't want to become the target. It's like a lot of people get revelations and then they start building doctrines upon that so that they can gather men and a following after themselves for their own lusts. No, I would rather see the same prophecies, the same revelation of prophecy come out in 1,000 other places and give the enemy 1,000 different targets. And like I said, I believe that that's one of the lessons we need to take away from the persecution of the Tony Alamo ministries, is that we need to duplicate. Everyone in that ministry should now duplicate. They should take a piece of that ministry and they should start duplicating the ministry on their own. Yes, it'll be on a small scale, but I tell you what, that the Heavenly Father will support you and He will take care of you. If you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will add to you everything you need. It's a promise from His Word, and you can count on it. You've been listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. Please visit my website. Take advantage of the studies there. And tell everyone you can about this program. Till we meet again, in everything you say and do, hallelujah.